Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
I can't see it, smell it, touch it. It doesn't exist, right? This is the madness. So, they can't see, smell, or touch time. But how can you deny its existence? So you will see, when they avoid this subject of time, many haven't even noticed it's there. And then some try, with this false premise that everything is atoms and molecules, they try to explain time in terms of atoms and molecules. If that were so, then you could control the atoms and molecules and stop time. But no. You may bend time by affecting gravity and mass. You may bend time. Or you may bend your perception of time by taking various intoxications. Not that I'm recommending. But time will march on. Completely independent of what you want and what you do. So this is the Supreme Lord's potency directly manifest. But because they can't put it under a microscope, they say, well, we'll figure that out later. We'll find out that it is another fizzing of the chemicals. So this, as Prabhupada said in the purport, they're busy denying the Supreme Lord. And Prabhupada particularly said, if you remember, he said the Supreme Personality. So the materially conditioned life is based on the conception, the insistent idea that there is nothing superior to me. I am the Supreme. And this reaches its ultimate state in the idea that I am the Creator. In the Mayavadi conception, that I am producing everything. And just according to my imagination, everything outside of me is existing. But if that were so, why are you undergoing things that you do not want? You may think you are creating everything and nothing exists outside your experience. Because you are the center of the universe. But why are you unable to stop time? Why are you unable to stop the miserable conditions? Why are you imagining things that you cannot control? Like broken legs, the approach of old age, typhoid fever, malaria. Why can't you control your wife? Or even your stomach? When you have diarrhea or constipation, why, if you're producing reality external to yourself, why you can't? No, you have to run. Oh, I don't want it. Very sincerely, I don't want it. But there it is, imposing itself on me. So, dukalayam asashvitam. Krishna is very precise. When he says dukalayam asashvitam, and Prabhupada makes reference to this, dukalayam means his miseries, right? Abrahma, right from the top planet to the lowest, there's miseries. And the ultimate misery is death, right? Asashvitam means temporary. So we have two things that contradict the idea, I am creating reality. That everything is temporary, being rushed away, taken away, and everything is miserable in this material world. And that is the ultimate misery. Dukalayam asashvitam is summarized, condensed those two words into mrityu sava haras chaham. Death is not fun. If somebody, you go outside the temple now, and you find your chapels are gone, you'll be very disturbed, right? Somebody took my chapel. You'll be irritated. You'll be walking around the temple. Where are they gone? You'll be looking at everyone's feet for an hour or two. That's just your chapels. What to speak of if somebody took your feet, huh, and your legs and your heart and your mind and your body and your bank account and your nice blanket. Huh? But death, mrityu sarva harascham, all devouring death, Chandravega, the powerful time factor is pushing everyone to death, and everything will be gone. Huh? So, imagine how disturbing that is. Of course, for a devotee, death is not a terrible thing. I remember one, you know Smarahari? Smarahari used to be here. So one time, he's a very friendly guy, so one time there was about four or five devotees and about four or five backpackers. He took them to one apartment in Keshav Kunj and we were cooking some prasad and discussing. So the subject matter of death came up. So I asked everyone, I said, everyone say, if you could know the time of death, would you want to know it? Or would you want not to know it? So every devotee, sadhana bhakta, in the room, said, yes, I would like to know. But all the backpackers and traveling type people, they said, oh, no, I don't want to know. It's very interesting. Huh? So you may have your own idea, but the thing is, they don't want to recognize, this is my understanding, the possibility of death. Because if you accept, yes, I'm going to die July 28th, tomorrow or something. If you accept that, then you have to accept death. But if you can just imagine, oh, I don't want to know the time of death, you can push it away. Huh? And often, if you meet materially conditioned people and you tell them, well, you should practice spiritual life because everything is temporary and everything in this material world is unsatisfactory, full of misery, and ultimately death will come, they will say, oh, don't be morbid. Huh? Live life to the full. Forget about death. Huh? But then they go and watch the reality show on television, right? Right, there's a new thing now, reality show. So, that's the reality show of this world, that everyone is lined up. Huh? Durga Dham, we're in the prison house, and the materialist gets out, No, he doesn't actually. He just goes from one prison cell to the next at the time of death. But devotee, just like Narada Muni says at the beginning of the Bhagavatam, he took instruction from the Bhaktivedantas and he practiced that sadhana. And then at the time of death, it explained just like lightning and illumination occur, or thunder occur simultaneously. So he dropped off his material tabernacle and he attained his spiritual form simultaneously. So for devotee, just like the materialist or a thief or a rascal or a gunda, a murderer or a thief, whenever he sees the policeman, what does he do? He feels all very nervous. Oh, he's not looking for me, is he? But the person who is a good citizen, paying his taxes, like everyone does in India, completely, without any... then he doesn't fear the policeman or the governmental authority. Right? Thinks I walk down the street. I need to know the time. Mr. Policeman, what's the time?
I don't know. No.
So he has no fear of the governmental authority. He has no fear of time. The devotee. Because He has taken Krishna's advice and he has realized and he's recognized that he is subordinate. You see? I am subordinate to this external reality. I am not the supreme. Therefore, I should harmonize. But the rebellious soul will, he may think, yes, there's something going on here that I'm not in control, but I'm going to get in control. If you remember in Prabhupada's purport, he said, them scientists are saying by machines, right? Now they have this idea, nanotechnology. They want to put little machines inside the body. No, thank you. You can keep your... this. I don't want to look like this eternally. And have to pay taxes for the rest of eternity. No. Of course, foolish idea. They can never do it. Because but their rebellious nature, they're trying to conquer the imposition of the Supreme Lord in these absolute factors, time and death. Death is absolute. You may argue, well, I haven't died yet. Everyone else may have died and they may die, but I haven't died yet, so your logic is not good. But that is your foolishness. Nobody's going to place a bet on it. So we have to recognize that, and that is the beginning of bhakti. As Prabhupada says, supreme, supreme. Absolute means supreme. Independent, self-sustaining. He doesn't need our approval. He's independent of us. So this is the nature of absolute. The Kala Shakti is an absolute potency. It is the mixing agent, it is the controlling agent. It is the manifestation of, if you read third canto of Bhagavatam, there is explained how the Kala Shakti, which is the glance of Mahavishnu, agitates the personified material energy to produce the Mahatattva. So this Kala Shakti is expansion, manifestation of Krishna's expansion, Lord Shiva. So this Kala Shakti is agitating the material nature. That glance of Mahavishnu contains, according to Bhagavatam there, the living entities, their destination, or the bodies they will take, and it is composed of the time factor. So that time factor is Lord Shiva, destructive element, you see? You see, Lord Shiva in the Guna avatars, Lord Brahma is the devata in charge of creation. Vishnu is maintaining. And Shiva is in charge of destruction. So the ultimate effect of the Kala Shakti is to destroy everything. You may have a nice blanket, but it's not going to last forever. You may have a nice handsome body, but it's not going to last forever. If you put something, you may have a motor car, and put it in the garage, and polish it every Sunday, but it's not going to last forever. Time is devouring everything, destroying. So that is the function of Lord Shiva, in charge of tamagun, destruction, violence, fierceness. So this Kala Shakti creates the Mahatattva when interacting with Durga Devi. Therefore we see the lingam and the yoni. So it is the mixture of Purusha and Prakriti. And that reflects as below, as above. The whole of creation is an interaction of Purusha and Prakriti, the Supreme Lord and His creation. ultimately embodied in Sri Sri Radha Krishna, the divine couple, Purusha and Prakriti, in the ultimate manifestation. And in the Srimad, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is explained that Radha and Krishna are one, but to enjoy the bliss of pastimes, they have separated themselves eternally. But their interaction on the transcendental platform is free of the Kala Shakti. The transcendental world, there is no Kala Shakti. There is no movement to destruction. As in the Brahma Samhita, number 50, verse 56, right? Sriya Kanta Kanta Paramapurusha Kaltaravo Drumis. So it's explained there that in the Lord Brahma, when he realized the spiritual world after his tapasya, he saw that there's no time, the time is not subject to passing away for even half a moment. So the Kala Shakti is only operating in the arena of Dukkalaya Mastashvitam, misery and temporary nature. Kala Shakti is not manifest in the transcendental abode. And that is the reality. But for the conditioned soul, he's conditioned by time. So his thoughts are thinking in time. Just like the material scientist. He's thinking, well, we'll conquer the effect of time in time. We'll make life eternal. But you don't have to make life eternal. There is an eternal situation already existing. The material scientist thinks that I'm progressing in knowledge. Just like we say, through their senses and in their test tubes and microscopes, they can see atoms and molecules. So they think that's everything. It is creating time. We haven't figured it out yet. But actually, there is a status of existence without time. And the material scientists, they think, under the influence of the Kala Shakti, that they're progressing in knowledge. Once there was Newtonian physics, right? But then Einstein came along and made quantum physics. And now somebody else will come along and refute that. And the material scientists will think we're progressing in knowledge. But actually, they're only going from one mistaken conclusion to another mistaken conclusion. But because their consciousness is infected by the time factor, which gives a sense of progression in a linear function, they think we're moving along in improving our knowledge. But actually, no. They're just going from one mistake to the other. And under the influence of the time factor, they think they're progressing. And therefore, because they're rebellious to the supremacy of the Supreme Lord, they're confined to this material sphere, trying to find solution to Dukkalaya Masashvitam. They're fighting time and misery and death. They are trying, yes, we'll become sat, we'll become eternal, jit, we'll have everything understood. We'll achieve ultimate happiness. Our personalities will reign supreme. This is the philosophy of apotheosis in Western. It means that we'll become as gods by progression in Tantra or material science is a form of Tantra. Manipulating the material elements. But they will never achieve it. Because they will always be bound by the material energy and the time factor. It is absolute. It is not surpassable. It is not challengeable. You can challenge, but you cannot overcome. But the only way is to recognize your subordinate to the position of the Supreme Personality and harmonize with that personality and develop your relationship with that Supreme Personality. Then you can enter the eternal time sphere. From our situation, we find that very difficult to understand. Because we are infected, our consciousness, with the Kala Shakti, and we're not perfectly liberated, we can find it very hard. How is it possible that there is activity and a progression of leela and activity in the transcendental abode, but there's no time factor? Because even though we may not consciously recognize or admit or understand time, we are infected by its influence. So when we hear of an abode spoken of, like Lord Brahma, that is beyond time, where life, existence, activities never pass away. There's no sense of past, present or future, which the Kala Shakti imposes on us, rigorously, fiercely, Chandavega. Then, what is that? Because we are not equipped in the conditioned state to understand eternal matters. Therefore, these things are beyond the range of our materially conditioned consciousness. However, at the same time, the process of bhakti, the process of sadhana, is to contemplate these aspects of the transcendental reality. That is the important thing. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam, they describe the eternal leela of Radha and Krishna, the devotees, Lord Chaitanya, and they, the Bhagavad Gita says, janma karma tame divyam, evam yovati tatpata, that when you understand, Krishna says, the eternal nature, the tatpata, the eternal nature of my eternal pastimes, that I manifest within the material sphere, within the material time factor. When you understand that tatpata in truth, and Prabhupada explains, by shravanam kirtanam, by hearing and chanting, by reading about these transcendental pastimes and contemplating them in our sadhana, then we, by the grace of the Supreme Personality, we realize that transcendental platform above the time factor. So even though our understanding may be very much limited by our material conditioning and a material mind and body, the process of bhakti is to apply these instruments, the body and mind, in the service and contemplation of that absolute truth. And that will awaken, by grace of Krishna, by grace of Guru, by Sadhu Sangha, a realization of these transcendental, this transcendental consciousness. Therefore, shravanam kirtanam, we should hear and study Bhagavatam. And this is what Narada Muni is trying to do for King Prichinabari. He's trying to point out that this material world is a product of fruitive activities. It is ruled by the time factor. And you are entranced by your wife, and you've gone to the forest killing, and you're doing all sorts of wasteful activities in the material world that are not for your ultimate eternal benefit. So he's pointing out that yes, this material world, it's not morbidity to recognize that everything is temporary, that everyone is being swallowed by the python of time, Mrityu sarva harashyaham. Just like Arjuna. When he said in the 11th chapter, I want to see how you have entered into this material energy. Right? In the opulence of the absolute. 9th chapter, 10th chapter, Krishna saying, I am everything and I am within everything. Everything is resting on me. So Arjuna wanted to see how is that form. So Krishna said, I'll give you divine eyes. I'll give you realization of my position. And you can see how I have entered within the material energy. Lord Brahma had got a manifestation of the spiritual abode, Chintamani Prakara Satmasu. But Arjuna was given a manifestation of how Krishna is within the material world. And what was his reaction? He was terrified. Because he saw the reality of the material world. That everyone is being devoured, right? He saw in the universal form that everyone had millions of mouths and everyone was being devoured within the teeth of the universal form, the many faces. And this was a terrifying manifestation. So Narada Muni is pointing out that this is the real condition. This is the condition that you should understand. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta said we can present Krishna consciousness in two ways. We can eulogize the eternal condition in the transcendental world. It is wonderful there. And we can also point out the defects of the material existence. But he said, of the two, and that's what you'll find, many times people will give flowery words in Bhagavat Sapta, and they'll talk about Rasleela, and they'll talk about the pastimes of Krishna, and people will listen for 7 days, give a donation, and go home and think it's so wonderful. But he said that the best and most potent way is that you must describe the inebrities, the fallacies of existence in the material world. Because that will cut people's attachment to fruitive activity and mental speculation. And then they'll take the situation seriously. If people don't think they're sick, they don't go to the doctor. If they think, oh, it's nice in the spiritual world, and they forget that it's not nice down here, then they cut the attachment. Sadhu means cut. The attachment to the material cycle of birth and death under the time factor will continue. They'll not reject it. So both things must be there. We must understand that this material energy is not our home. And we must at the same time, with the renunciation of that realization, we must apply our consciousness to the transcendental realm. So those two things are there. So the Bhagavatam, yes, it's wonderful. We don't want to say, don't hear the Leela. But first realize the fallacy of your condition. You're being pushed along by Chandravega, inevitable, irrefutable time. You'll never conquer it, no matter how much tax money you give to the foolish scientists. Confirmed again. And it's a serious condition. So we should become immersed in the Bhagavatam and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you all very much. Any question? Yes.
I have two questions.
Why not? We have time.
I think you covered the subject of time. Excellent. Wonderful. I have one question regarding the death as an absolute.
Yes.
Because in the Bhagavad Gita, five subjects, the karma is considered not eternal.
Sorry?
Karma.
Karma, yeah, because it's in flux.
So if we see Mirtyu, death connected with karma,
if we see death connected with us, with karma, our link to
well,
karma.
Well, no, death isn't connected ultimately.
Well,
with karma,
it has to do with karma,
a situation of the body. Oh, well, this world, it's later on in this chapter, Narada Muni said this world is a product of fruitive activities.
In that sense,
so
yeah,
fruitive activity means karma.
You know what I target that?
But your karma will push you along. But part of it will be death.
It seems also it's not in that sense absolute, because a person is the jiva, so it's not meant to happen to him. It's more a relative situation.
Well,
that he undergoes.
As Prabhupada explained there, that every body will be finished.
Yeah, in that sense.
It's absolute. You cannot overcome it.
No. But if terms of relative and absolute, as one is temporary and one is eternal, if you use the term absolute in the meaning of eternal, I would question this idea of mirtyu.
Well, the absolute, if you look up in the dictionary, it means supremely independent. So death is independent of your bank balance or the doctor. Mm-hmm. Every body, material body, will die.
Yeah.
So Krishna says, I am death, kalosmi aham.
The other question.
So it is an arrangement of the Supreme Lord. It is an absolute, directly arranged within the material sphere. So there are two absolutes. You see, people want to deny the existence of God. God means absolute, right? The absolute person. So there's two manifestations that are directly perceivable in this world. One is the effect of time. Time is absolute, irrevocable. Death is irrevocable, this material body. Therefore, only a madman can deny the existence of God, because God is manifest as time and as death in the material world. They are evidential of an absolute principle.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah,
they evidence an absolute principle. So whatever the nature of that absolute is another question. But we cannot deny the existence of absolute. And the materialist, the atheistic, they want to make everything relative. It is your opinion. According to your opinion, death doesn't arrive, or time doesn't function according to your opinion. It is independent, you see. So they are only juggling words and maya aprita gyan, fooling themselves. Because time and death are absolute, then it's probative that there is an absolute in this world. And absolute means independent, superior, unsurpassable. What does relative and absolute mean? Just like another, understand it in this way. Like you have a father, and your father has a father and a father, and it goes all the way to Lord Brahma. But Krishna has no father. Your existence and your grandfather's existence are dependent on their fathers, right? But Krishna is not dependent on a father. He's the Supreme Father, but he has no father. Now, cause of all causes, Krishna, you see, manifest in this world, there are causes, but they begin at Krishna. Krishna is uncaused. Matak parataram nanyad kintid asti. You know, that there is nothing beyond me.
In that sense,
I can say that death as a feature depends on karma, and therefore it's relative.
Death
as an experience depends on karma. If I do a karma,
well, but that's not the point under discussion.
Relative. In that's what my.
But that's not the point under discussion.
Well, that's
the
what
relationship
I
of death.
I start the discussion by asking this question.
The point is, we have to recognize that death is absolute.
That's
the point. But of course, it is part of karma that we are all pushed to death. Yes.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you for your nice class. One idea came in my mind, Prabhuji. Means just like, you know, if you want to realize in this material practically how time remain, constant of a chilam vartaman, just like, you know, you sit in the plane in above the sky and you just travel at the speed of the earth, revolving, earth is revolving, same speed you travel, but in western direction, so there will be no night for you. You will remain totally day. Like, you know, you're getting the point. So in this material world also, just like, you know, you go in the sky and you stay at the speed which is earth is revolving, there will be no night for you. Similarly, just like we are devotee, we remain Krishna consciousness 24 hour day, there is no
light. I can't understand what you're saying.
You know, earth is revolving.
Say in one or two sentences.
Yeah, yeah. Just like, you know, when you sit in the plane, if you travel in the plane and at the same speed of the earth which is revolving, you know, at a time, you know, you...
I can't hear. I don't understand what you're saying.
Yeah, it's relative.
He means the Einstein's relativity theory.
Speak louder.
It means Einstein's relativity theory that he's speaking about, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but forget this. This is all nonsense. You'll never be able to figure it out because it's all illusion. You understand? Everything thrown up, all those theories, Darwinianism, and the latest theory of some atheistic scientist, they're not based on reality. So if you apply your intelligence to them, you just become bewildered because there's nothing to grasp hold of. You understand? There's nothing solid in these theories. Now, in universities, people go and study these things and then they regurgitate them in examinations and they may get a degree in it. But there's nothing substantial. There's no reality in it. In the material energy, everyone is babbling foolishly with contradictory and false ideas. Just like history. History, what is it? Nobody really knows, but they agree on some version of history as reality. So history is, in the material world, is just an accumulation of lies or illusion that people agree upon. So these material scientists, they throw up these ideas, quantum this, string theory, this idea, that idea, but they only serve to bewilder people. There's nothing real. At the beginning of the Bhagavatam it says there, those things that are described without relationship to the absolute truth simply serve to carry the mind away. Like a boat without a rudder is carried away by a strong wind upon the sea. So all this foolishness, the only way to come to reality is Mahatmanas Tumam Partha Devim Prakritim Ashtita Bhajanti Ananya Manaso. You have to take shelter of the Devim Prakriti. In the Maya Shakti, which is the ruler of this under control of Lord Shiva and Durga Devi. In the Maya Shakti, everything is illusion. All these opinions and theories and this and globalism, socialism, these are all false. These are all dreams. Just like in the sloka, Gandhavas, 36. There's 360 lunar days in a year, a lunar year, and there's 360 lunar nights. So you'll see later on, there's 720 enemies. So within this sphere, there's only illusion, darkness. Just like when you have a fever, malaria or typhoid, you cannot understand the passing of time or anything, but you're trying to come to conclusions about what's going on. But you're fevered, you're inebriated, just like a drunk person. He's stumbling around. He doesn't know what he's saying. He thinks he's entertaining anyone, but he's just a fool. So all these people, what is it? Mudoyam nabijananti. Naham prakasha sarvasha. If you don't understand Krishna and you cannot start to see everything in relationship to Krishna, then you're the mudha. No matter how many Nobel Prizes they have, all they are is maya aprita gyan, asuram bhava. They're all in illusion. They're all saying idiotic things, that like we're going to, through machinery, we're going become eternal. So if you apply your mind to try and figure out, you can't. Because you won't find any coordinates, you won't find anything substantial. You won't find any reality. All you find is befuddlement. You see? Do you see the point? So don't try and, you can read them, and as a devotee, as a rishi, as an enlightened soul, you can see the fallacy. But that's because you're Krishna conscious, and you can see the fallacy in it. But these people, there is one illusioned, inebriated person studying another illusion. The whole material world, everyone is in fact infected by the Maya Shakti. But because of the false ego, they think my conclusions, my understanding is correct. That is Prasatmika and Avaranatmika. People are in the illusion, but with a false understanding of reality. But then the next layer of illusion is they think that their opinion is correct. Therefore, everyone has got an opinion, but everyone is thinking their opinion is correct. And therefore, you see in the material world, people fight. The Muslims fight the Christians, and the Muslims fight the Jews, and the Jews fight this, and the atheists fight this. Why? Because they all think I'm right. And if people followed what I think, then that would be a perfect world. We'd reach utopia. But they're all fools and rascals under the influence of the Maya Shakti. Because their mind is not resting, their consciousness is not fixed at the lotus feet of truth and reality, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they don't even understand what they're saying themselves, because they're completely intoxicated by the material illusion. But they present themselves as authorities. Therefore they're cheaters. Just like they give a Nobel Prize, and then next year somebody, a scientist, comes along and refutes that theory, and they give him a Nobel Prize. Right? But then they should take back the previous Nobel Prize, because he's been disproved. He should give back his medal. Right? Right? I get a Nobel Prize for saying one set of nonsense, and I give a speech and I'm praised. And then in a few years, right? Like this Darwinian theory, now it is genetic theory, and this theory and that theory, and they're all getting Nobel Prizes. Here you are, you're the biggest idiot at this time. None of them are recognizing that there is an absolute, that there is ultimately a Supreme Personality. And this is the illusory condition. But they're taking illusion and mental speculation as knowledge. This is the foolishness. Just like a drunk person. He's sitting at the bar drinking whiskey and he's in his hazy days. And he's thinking, yeah, that's right. Yeah. And then the next day he wakes up and he goes to the bar again and he drinks. No, that's not right. This is right. So, that's a gross example, but that's everyone without Krishna consciousness, without knowledge, without absolute truth. Everyone is just in a flux. Karma. Mental speculation. So, you try and reason with a drunk person. You try and figure out what he's saying. You're wasting your time. The best thing is to sober him up. You see? So by daivim prakritin ashrita, there's another form of energy, and that is the spiritual energy. And that gives connection, understanding to the absolute truth. You see, the Maya Shakti separates you from Krishna, the source, cause of all causes. But the daivim prakrita, the yoga maya potency, connects you to Krishna. And the reality is that everything is an emanation from the Supreme Personality. So unless you are able to perceive that connection, you are in illusion. So once you take shelter of the daivim prakrita, then you see everything in relationship to Krishna. So you enter into reality. But as long as you're in the Maya Shakti, no matter how much you're studying this and that, if you're not seeing it in relationship to Krishna, you're just getting the latest illusion or daze, latest mistake. You see? And you see the result now, especially in Kali Yuga. People do not respect the Vedic knowledge. They take their wild imaginings as knowledge. And look at the world. The rivers are polluted, the air is polluted, the governments are corrupted. Everything is becoming worse through this speculation and so-called scientific advancement, because they forgot how to relate everything to the Supreme Personality. Is the point clear? You see, that is the secret of life, manmana. Krishna told Arjuna, you fix your consciousness on me. And if you do that, then you, sava bhavena bharata, right? Jinati purushottam sava vid bhajatimam sava bhavena bharata. If you accept jinati purushottam, the Supreme Person, and you are Ainanda Tanuja Kinkara, and in a devotional way you accept your position of the servant of the Absolute Person, then sava bhavena bharata, you become a knower of everything, because you get the grace of Krishna and you see the relationship of everything to Krishna. But you see, in the material context, everything distracts you, the Maya Shakti, everything makes people forget the connection to the Supreme. Even though it's manifest as the time factor, the absolute time factor. So that only indicates the rebellious mentality. And that is the root of material conditioning. Rebellion against the Supreme Person. But the root of spiritual consciousness is to accept your subordinate position to the Supreme Personality. Jivera Svarupoi Krishnera Nityadas. You see? So as soon as the spirit soul realizes that I'm not the creator, I'm not the controller, I'm subordinate, And under direction of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, he learns to relate to the Supreme Lord, then his auspicious condition begins. But it doesn't matter how materially intelligent or talented, he's only in the illusory world. He's only in darkness. And he says all sorts of contradictory, illusory ideas. And out of his false ego, he thinks it's correct. But it's just the latest illusion. And therefore, you see, there are all this new philosophy, new idea, this. But then all insubstantial. They're all imperfect, all fallible. So don't try and figure out. You can read it. As a rishi, you can see. Because in the Ishupanishad, it says you should understand and avidya. You should understand what illusion is. But so the first thing about illusion is insubstantial. It's flux. There's no reality in it. You see, because we're in illusion, we think that eternal world, that is because it doesn't relate to our material conditioning. But through Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, that is reality. A condition of existence without the controlling factor of time. That is the reality. And this illusory world, that this is the illusory, lower state of consciousness. Just like when you're in asleep, you're dreaming all sorts of things. A tiger is chasing me. I'm the king of the world. Huh? Then you wake up and that's illusion. So this material Maya Shakti is putting everyone in illusion. Mahavishnu is dreaming the whole thing. Everyone is under the Maya Shakti dreaming that they are that their own little world, as we say. And the root of that is an inability or a reluctance to accept that there are superiors to yourself. It is the rebellion. And the root of bhakti is to accept that I am the servant of the Supreme. I am in a subordinate position. But that subordinate position in the material world is terrible because we become exploited. But in the transcendental position, as soon as you become subordinate, that becomes the source of all rasa. Ainanda tanuja kinkaram. Then the next loka is Nayanam Gladasru. Now I'm feeling great ecstasy, and without a thought of you, every moment seems like a million years. So the source of rasa is the mood of servitude to the Absolute. And that mood of servitude, which is the wellspring of rasa, that is so wonderful that the Supreme Lord Himself takes the position of servitude as Sri Sri Gaur Nitai. Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai.